This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins me on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development. He is, of course, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and this is the big show we've been looking forward to.
Really big show.
It's not the pie show, but this is a big show.
We will mention
this
pie.
This is going to be so much fun.
This is the third time that we have done the top 10 list.
Are you serious?
This is the third year in a row that we have done the top 10
growth
and development
stories.
Brian,
we're getting to be old friends.
We are. And so let me thank WINA and Coy Barefoot for having Charlottesville Tomorrow on once a week and for having the Coy Barefoot Show, which I think is a great thing for this community.
And absolutely. And I want to say thank you to Saga Communications, who owns the Charlottesville Radio Group, to the leadership and management of this company, for making the investment in local radio, because they can't do it across the board, as we've recently learned. Can't do it in every circumstance, but I'm glad they chose to invest in this program for another year. I'm really proud of what we do here and honored to do this program. And you, Brian, are one of the reasons that people tune in. They don't tune in to hear me. They tune in to hear the people that come on this program and share interesting stuff.
Well, reflecting back on 2008, I've realized we've talked about a whole lot of stuff. And I also want to thank our donors at Charlottesville Tomorrow for keeping us in business, and also my colleague Sean Tubbs and our interns and fellows that have been writing a lot of these news stories over the past year. But I have come up with 10 top stories from 2008.
Are we going to start at 10 and go down to 1?
We will start at number 10
and
go backwards.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. Letterman style.
Build up the excitement. Now, this list, if you want to follow along online, is available on the Charlottesville Tomorrow News Center. You can go to cvilletomorrow.org, and you can comment. Maybe I left something out. You can comment.
You can comment on that post.
On that post.
Online.
You can tell us what should have been higher or lower in the ranking, or what should have been there that wasn't there.
Good stuff. Now, before we start the list, was there any criteria or your thinking that went into it as you sat down to figure out what are the top stories? Was it just what got the most word count, or what was it?
A very scientific process, Coy. I take my laptop and bang it on my head for about 2 hours and see what falls out. No, what I did was I went back and reviewed the headlines of all the stories we wrote. Certainly, we're reflecting on this throughout the year as we go. But, you know, reviewing a whole year's worth of stories and trying to figure out which ones were, you know, the most newsworthy, which ones did Charlottesville Tomorrow do some work on that really got some attention.
I think
that's part of it. But also, what were the most important, influential issues in the community?
Yeah, what were people talking about?
That really captured the public debate.
Now, we're going to count down this list. This is the top 10 growth and development news stories of 2008. We're also going to, before we get out of here, hear from you about your predictions for what will be the top stories of 2009 as you peer into your crystal ball, your Charlottesville Tomorrow ball.
And that's a new addition to the top 10 list. And on our website...
You're constantly improving, aren't you?
Constantly improving. On the website, I also wrote about a paragraph about each of these items with links to the key stories that made them important.
Oh, cool.
So it's a resource
that's really nice
for the public.
So you can go back and you can get a summary, or you can go back and read the archive of these stories as they came out in real time. Very cool. All right, let us begin then. Number 10, the number 10 growth and development story of 2008.
Charlottesville Tomorrow's Pi Day 2008.
And I should say, so listeners know, I did not look at this list because I didn't want to. I saw that you'd posted it and you put it down in front of me here, and I've just turned it over because I don't want to see them. I want them to be fresh to me.
I was the only
freshness
one involved
of local radio
in making this list.
Yeah.
So Pi Day 2008, now that is a story about Charlottesville Tomorrow, but it's about so much more than that, Coy, because it's about good eating, and it's about our rural countryside, and about
local
our
business
quest for homemade goodies.
Yeah.
And
supporting
local
the local
business.
Economy.
That's
yeah.
Right. And so, you know, farm fresh, farm local, those are issues that have been important in 2008, where people are trying to buy local goods and consume what our farmers are producing around here. So Charlottesville Tomorrow, in an effort to both educate our staff about the rural countryside in Albemarle County and also to get to know some of these venues, we went searching for good pie. And it's a tough job, as I said at the time, but somebody had to do it. And it's a job that a lot of people may join us on in 2009. That's something I'm looking forward to. But anyway, on August 8th, 2008, we ate 8-8-8. Oh, did we eat some good pie on that day. We spent 9 hours, 36 minutes circumnavigating Albemarle County, 160 miles. We went to the highest point in Albemarle, at least that you
could drive to,
that I know of, Mission Home, up on the Greene County border, up near Shenandoah National Park. So up in the northwest corner of Albemarle County.
Yeah.
And then we went to the lowest point down in Scottsville at the James River. We took 379 photos. We forded one stream. It went up to my hubcaps. We were okay. And we found three stores with great pie.
And nobody got sick. Nobody got a tummy ache.
We were hurting by the end. But we found Lumpkins in Scottsville, had great pie.
Mm, good stuff.
Crossroad Country Store on 29 South.
Yeah.
Had a good pie. And then Child's Peach Orchard in Crozet.
The big winner.
Had the winner. Allie Child's baked our peach cobbler, which was off the charts.
For folks who have not heard, you are planning a bigger, even bigger pie day for 2009.
Bigger and better.
That might even involve a bus and people winning seats on the bus to go on pie day with you, right?
I thought they were going to pay me for seats.
Oh, is that what you want to do? Is that how you want to do it? Sorry.
Maybe we'll get a corporate sponsor. Corporate sponsor. That's what we need.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
So if you're listening out there. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was the number 10 story.
The big pie day.
Number one in my heart, but number 10 on our list.
There you go. Good stuff. Number nine.
Albemarle County made some changes to improve citizen and media access to some important planning information. Now, this may sound like an inside baseball thing, but we're often talking about access to what government is doing, access to the materials they're looking at to make decisions.
Yeah.
Take the water supply discussion, which we'll come to later. People really want to know everything being talked about and what all the original documents are. Well, Albemarle County in 2008 did a couple things to expand access to this material. So now for the Albemarle County Planning Commission, you can get access to the full agenda, all the site plan information, the handouts, the attachments, the drawings, everything is on their website.
That's all online now.
All online.
And the time was... Even if you stopped by in person, you couldn't even get that stuff. Well, now you can get it online.
Ever since I've been involved with this, you have been able to stop by and get it, but it does require a trip, and it's on paper, so it's harder to keyword search on your computer and things like that. So now you can download this material. They also released what's called County View. County View is a web-based application that lets the public and developers see detailed information about planning and building applications. So if you want to find out, what's the recent development activity for Old Trail out in Crozet, you can look up and see what's been submitted, who's reviewing it, where it is in the pipeline, what the concerns are. And all of that information is available real time, just as it is to the planning staff in the county office building.
I'm glad that made your list, because I'm a big open government, open the windows, let the sunshine in kind of guy. It can only be a good thing if people know more about what their government is doing, how the decisions are being made, who's involved in the decisions, how they're spending money. And it actually is a big story. It's worthy of being on that list.
And you add to that things they did in 2007, where the county put up podcasts of its meetings and also opened up its what's called the GIS, or Geographic Information System.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you can go online and map your property, see what school district you're in, see what overlays are there, critical slopes, stream bank buffers, whatever.
Very cool.
So give Albemarle County kudos for that.
Absolutely. The number eight growth and development story of 2008.
We have to journey outside of Charlottesville for this one, Coy. We went to Stanton, Virginia, and followed Charlottesville City Council as they held their retreat.
That was great.
At the Stonewall Jackson Hotel.
Which is a very nice hotel, by the way.
And Charlottesville Tomorrow was the only observer, media or otherwise, to attend.
I remember you talking about that.
I had the honor of drawing the short straw on that one.
They're all giving you the eye. What are you doing here, Brian?
I promised I would not podcast their discussion.
You were really the only non-government person in the room watching. It wasn't a closed meeting. They just were doing it in Stanton.
Open meeting was in Stanton. They've also had these retreats at Wintergreen in the past. Local government on the Albemarle County side tends to have those retreats here in Charlottesville. But Charlottesville City Council decided to do that because they thought it was lets them think a little better in a different venue.
Yeah.
And but we came back and documented some very important decisions that were made at that meeting about their key priorities heading into this current year. A number of the other news outlets picked up on that after our trip, and we're glad to help contribute to that. But it was a very important meeting because that's where they picked issues like affordable housing and renovating the public housing in Charlottesville.
Which we're hearing a lot about now as the budget comes
forward. Initiatives. So yeah. They're following through on those things.
Good stuff. Number seven.
The county of Albemarle is continuing to review its economic development policy. Now, the interesting thing about that is they've been reviewing this for quite a while. In fact, in September 2007 is when staff were first prepared to have local government look at this. And that meeting, it got jettisoned for whatever reason. It came back to them November 2007. The Board of Supervisors started working on it then. This is all in an effort to update the county's comprehensive plan and its goals related to economic development, a very important thing here in the community. And so the county, you know, was slow to get started on this. Throughout 2008, it was constantly deferred and postponed by the Planning Commission, and then it finally came back to the Board of Supervisors most recently, and will be on their agenda tomorrow at their meeting. But in the course of doing this economic development update, they've decided to give some additional attention to light industrial property. And do we have the right zoning? Do we have enough land zoned for light industrial
activities? Like warehouses.
Offices, warehouses, yeah. Small businesses like a landscaping company that needs to park trucks on their property. What we've learned is that some of those applicants out in the county have trouble expanding in the county because there's a limited amount of large light industrial property. I think there are about 111 acres in the county right now that are designated for this kind of use. That are available.
That's actually not that much.
And not developed.
In a county that's 700-some square miles.
In the midst of all this, a gentleman named Will Yancey came forward and proposed a light industrial business park to adjoin Western Albemarle High School and be right behind the Yancey Lumber Mill at the I-64 interchange in Crozet with Route 250. So Will Yancey has brought this Yancey Mills Business Park proposal to the table as a comprehensive plan amendment. And the County Planning Commission said they were not interested in that proposal by a 6-1 vote. They said they didn't want to do anything that was outside of the designated growth area. Most of this land is in the rural countryside, and they thought that kind of use needed to be in a growth area. And then the Board of Supervisors at the end of 2008 overruled that decision.
Ooh.
And said you really need to keep this on the front burner as we look at economic development and our goals in Albemarle County. We need to give a hard look at this project and the proposal out there. So that will continue to be discussed in 2009.
Given the current makeup of the board, and of course three of those seats will be up for election this November, given the current makeup of the board then, does that mean that we will likely see them create more acreage in the rural countryside, turning rural land that is now zoned rural into possibly more light industrial?
Possibly. We don't know. And I think for this...
Because that's a pretty bold move to overturn your planning commission when they voted 6-1.
Well, it is, and they did so with an eye towards the master plan review for Crozet. Crozet's master plan was approved 5 years ago in 2004. It's up for its first review. And what they've done is thrown this proposal into the hopper to be reviewed as part of everything out in Crozet.
Yeah.
Now, there are Crozet residents and leaders out there in the community who are very opposed to doing anything outside the growth area, outside the designated 10 square miles that is the Crozet growth area today. Other members of the Board of Supervisors are anxious to have this vetted to see if this is a compelling case. Water and sewer are located through Western Albemarle High School. Potentially. It's also at that interstate interchange, which makes it friendly to that kind of traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's right across the street from a major housing development at Old Trail Village.
What would they put there?
Well,
Do they know?
Mix of offices and potentially, you know, industrial storage yards of some sort.
Brian,
but light industrial.
In most places in America, aren't your light industrial places in the rural area anyway? They're not next to, like, suburbs. In growth areas, and they're not next to strip malls.
I can't really say, but what I can say about Albemarle County is that 5% of the county is designated for that kind of growth and intensity of use, and 95% of the county is designated for to be rural. Now, this part in Crozet in particular, the County Planning Commission said they didn't want to support new development there because it would be the first new development approved in the rural area that is in the watershed of the South Fork Ravana Reservoir.
Oh, so it's a water thing.
So it is in the watershed. That was one of the key reasons they didn't want to develop it.
Which Albemarle County has sort of learned its lesson in trying to keep development away from the watershed.
Leads to sedimentation.
Because that's what we rely on to drink.
Public drinking water.
We drink out of our own watershed here, so we have to sort of stay away from them, right?
You got it.
There you go. Brian Wheeler is counting down the top 10 growth and development stories of 2008. We'll pick up with number 6 when we get back after this break for local news and weather. 37 minutes after 5 p.m. here in Central Virginia. It's a chilly 32 degrees. This is Charlottesville right now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot, and I want to wish you a very happy Tuesday. Thanks for joining me. Let's get right back to it. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. We are counting down the top 10 growth stories of 2008 in preparation for Brian's peering into his crystal ball. And he will, before we get out of here tonight, he's going to predict the top stories for 2009. So where are we? Number 6.
The year started off pretty interestingly, with the Board of Supervisors deciding to revisit rural area protection issues. And you may remember, Coy, there was a change in the Board of Supervisors. Ann Malik came on board representing the Whitehall District. And one of the first things they did, it was interesting because Ken Boyd, the chair, was absent from the meeting. He was out of town. David Slutsky was chairing the meeting. And under other business, the board decided they were ready to review, now that they had new membership on the board, the rural area protection strategies. The news of the year was that they approved 3 ordinance changes related to holding periods on family subdivisions, stream buffers, driveways across steep slopes. And then later in the year, they came back and looked at land use taxation, and they approved a first-ever revalidation program. So that property that's enrolled in land use pays a lower tax, property taxes, on their land because they're keeping it in open space. They're using it for forestry. They've got crops on it. They're grazing cattle, whatever.
Right.
If you're doing that, you pay less in taxes. However, they didn't have a program to go back and check and really validate that that's how the property was being used.
Yeah.
So now in 2008, Albemarle County set up that revalidation program.
You know, one of the biggest shockers that I learned in 2008 about that very program is the percentage of the acreage in Albemarle County that's in land use that is actually just forests, just woods. And it's like, what's the 70-something percent?
I don't remember that percentage, but over 60% is in land use countywide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a very high majority of that land is not cattle, is not farms, it's woods that people, you know, say
sure.
They have forestry on it. They're growing trees to turn into paper or something.
They're just looking at them.
Yeah, or just looking at them. I thought that was really interesting. So that is number 6. Number 5.
The Meadow Creek Parkway has a construction contract.
There it is. I was waiting for it.
At least for the county's portion. So Faulkner Construction was the low bidder, apparently, on the county's portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway, which, as we've heard recently, may be renamed the John Warner Parkway. That idea is floating around in the
community.
Which
would be its third name. And Dave Norris was on the show last night, and he said that the portion in the city won't be the Meadow Creek Parkway. It's McIntyre Road extended.
There's some politics involved there, Corey.
Uh-huh.
The powers that be want to call these 3 different projects. You've got the interchange, you've got McIntyre Road extended, and then you've got the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Which is north of
To all of us normal people looking at this project, it's the Meadow Creek Parkway running into Route 250.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we just call it the Meadow Creek Parkway. But anyway, the other part of the story is City Council in 2008 did pick a preferred interchange design. So there will be grade separation. The 250 bypass will pass over the Meadow Creek Parkway, McIntyre Road extended. And instead of a roundabout, which they'd talked about and been recommended to place underneath that, they will have a traditional diamond interchange with
cheaper.
The on and off ramps and signals,
yeah.
Where those ramps come
like
in
Barracks Road and 250.
Right.
Yeah.
So the The year wasn't over, though, before the City Planning Commission weighed in and recommended defunding the entire city portion of the project. And that recommendation's now in front of City Council.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that they didn't think it was the right priority for spending limited capital dollars.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So that's back in the hands of City Council, and we'll see what Mayor Norris
and
his
colleagues
do.
And we thought it was all done after 42 years.
But in 2009, the county's part should get underway.
There you go. The number four growth and development story of 2008.
This is the Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Transit Authority. This was the city and county agreeing to jointly seek legislation to get a regional transit authority approved. You would think that would be something two localities could come and do on their own, but they cannot. They have to go to Richmond to get permission for such a thing. So they are going to be having Delegate David Toscano and others probably submit legislation that will support the formation of that regional transit authority. It would take over the bus operations of the current Charlottesville Transit Service and expand them. The county has said it wants to expand bus operations in the county, but it wants to have a seat at the table so it can be involved in deciding where those things go and what they look like. The second piece of this, which is still being discussed, is how to raise funds to pay for its expansion, also to pay for other transportation projects. And the current idea on the table is to raise local sales taxes. Again, that requires the permission of the General Assembly, and legislation will probably be submitted seeking such power.
That definitely belonged in the top five. That's a big story that could have huge ramifications.
We'll see what the General Assembly does with it. There's a chance that they will only approve part of this, but also it will require a voter referendum in each locality. So the voters will have to decide to raise their own sales taxes to pay for this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see what would prevent even the most staunchest conservative in Richmond from saying, yeah, Central Virginia, if you want to do that and you want to decide locally, if you want to raise your own regional taxes to fund new roads, which we're not sending you money for anyway, and we don't have the money to send you anyway, if that's something you want to do, it would seem to me a conservative thing to do. I would be surprised if conservatives don't support that.
It's we'll come local back to rule that in the crystal ball.
It's local control. It's local rule. It's very Jeffersonian. And while we're on the topic of funding transportation and infrastructure, the news just announced this afternoon and right here on WINA that Tom Perriello, sworn in today as a 5th District Congressman, appointed or assigned to the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. That's a major headline because you got an incoming president who wants to spend billions on transportation and infrastructure, which means that committee is going to be very powerful and have a lot of dollars to spend, which means we might see. Well, what do you think it means?
Well, we're going to have to keep an eye on Mr. Perriello and what he's able to do. You know, when you think about our transportation challenges, they pale in comparison to Northern Virginia and the Hampton Roads area.
Yeah.
So you have to keep in mind the scale of the challenges we face. We certainly have some high priority projects this community wants to get built and that a lot of people think, you know, will help ease congestion. And it's not just roads. It's also these public transit projects and rail, passenger rail. So there's a variety of things, and we'll certainly keep an eye on them and see what can come this way to the 5th District.
We could possibly now, with him on that committee, see some huge transportation dollars come to the 5th District in Virginia. That's big news. Let's go to number three.
As I mentioned earlier, Supervisor Ann Malik is in her first year representing the Whitehall District. There are six members on the Board of Supervisors, and the number three item on our list is that Ann Malik was able to break the stalemate on a number of key items that were on the agenda of the Board of Supervisors. So where there used to be 3-3 stalemates on things like setting the tax rate on rural area protection strategies, Ann Malik's addition to the Board of Supervisors has led to a number of significant 4-2 votes on the tax rate, on moving forward on the rural area protection, and even on things like the Pantops Master Plan. The two votes that have been opposed to some of these initiatives have been Supervisor Ken Boyd, represents the Ravana District, who was also just reelected at the end of 2007, and then Lindsay Dorier, Democrat, represents the Scottsville District, who was also reelected in 2007. So that dynamic has really changed things on the board. You know, they have a lot lot of unanimous votes on a lot of things.
But on the contentious ones.
But on these in particular, where things have been stalemating in the past, she's been a key swing vote.
So, Brian, tell us in 2009, which seats will be up for re-election come November on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors?
Well, none of the three that I just mentioned. It's the other three. So Sally Thomas, who represents the Samuel Miller District, Dennis Rooker represents Jack Jewett District, and David Slutsky, who represents the Ryo District. Those are the three that are up this November.
Interesting. Let's go to number two, the number two growth and development story of 2008.
New housing, retail developments, all being held up by the national economic recession.
The sound of brakes.
Market forces. And interestingly for us, the lack of public infrastructure. So developments like Albemarle Place and North Point, even if the market was there and they wanted to go forward, they can't go forward today.
They don't have the sewers.
The sewer infrastructure is not in place. Those are interesting decisions that, you know, happened over a number of years. Certainly the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, the Albemarle County Service Authority, both are queuing up major infrastructure projects related to sewage and moving water around. That's going to be something to keep an eye on. But, you know, let's talk about building permits. You know, for new residential building permits through September, that's the only data I've got right now. So through the first three quarters of 2008, only 360 building permits were issued. And that's on track to be the lowest annual total in over a decade in Albemarle County.
Gosh.
No surprise. I mean, we see
they're not building.
Home builders are going out of business.
Yeah.
Some of our local ones here in town. And, you know, new developments have been approved, but they're not building these
homes.
What does
that mean for all the trades? You know, the guys who hang sheetrock and the electricians and the, they must be.
They're all impacted.
They don't have any work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's sad, but I don't know how many times you've come in this room and I said, Brian, what's up with Biscuit Run or what's up with this new mall or this? And you just say, look, nothing's happening. They're not doing it. You know, they're revisiting their plans. I mean, this is an opportunity when they just sort of go back and tweak the plans. But there is one thing where something is happening over by Gold's Gym, the new Whole Foods.
Right.
Are they going to do that?
We'll see. They say they're going to do it. And if I was to add that to my list for 2009, that'd be one to keep an eye on.
There you go. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. We're counting down the top 10 growth stories of 2008. And now, the number one growth and development story of 2008 is...
What have we not talked about? But what we all need...
What I'm drinking right here.
The community water supply plan.
There it is, the community water supply plan. Of course that's number one. Of course it is.
We couldn't talk about that enough on the show in 2008. Actually, we probably did. We've probably bored people to death with it, but it's hugely important.
Yeah, of course it is. You can't talk about this enough.
You know, we got through without a major drought in 2008, but one of the main goals of having a water supply plan is to prepare for the next drought, prepare for the growth that this community will see, even though we're not seeing it right now. We've got over 10,000 homes have been approved and not built in the city and the county. And when those homes start getting built, they're going to need to hook up to the water supply.
I mean, when the market comes back, the growth will come back with a vengeance because all these folks are just sitting waiting.
The reason this is our top story of the year is the amount of attention it got. And it came under a lot of scrutiny as the proposal to build a new Ragged Mountain Dam had cost estimates come in that were much higher than the original cost estimates. It was like the difference between $35 million and $100
million. Yeah.
And so that got a lot of people concerned. It also had a citizen group, Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, demanded that other alternatives be looked at and that dredging be given a serious look for the South Fork Ravana Reservoir, one of the key components of our water supply. So all of that combined with the Hook giving this unprecedented coverage in their publication has led to a lot of community concern and a lot of questions, primarily from city councilors responding to what they have said is neighborhood pressure to do something different and to ask different questions and get other things studied.
And it was also significant that you had three former city councilors come forward and say, knowing what I know now, I would not support that plan. Voted for it. But I wouldn't support it now, knowing what I know now.
And on city council today, only Dave Brown was on council at the time this plan was unanimously approved.
Yeah, the rest of them have inherited these previous decisions.
But that said, both the current city council and the current board of supervisors in 2008 both reaffirmed their support at different times for the general fundamentals of this 50-year plan.
Yeah. So there it is, the top story, the top growth story of 2008. And before we let you go, let's hear your predictions for the top stories of this new year, 2009.
There's no way that the water supply plan will not be the top story of 2009. It's got to be.
Yeah.
There are a number of studies underway. There's a panel of experts being convened to look at the Ragged Mountain Dam engineering and cost estimates. We're going to get a recommendation from the Stewardship Task Force, who's been looking at dredging the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir. They're going to come back with their recommendations. Probably, a dredging feasibility study might happen. It might not. But those are the kinds of things that will get talked about as the community tries to figure out where to go next.
And it will clearly be a huge election issue with three seats on the Board of Supervisors and, three on the
City
Council?
If there's a candidate that wants to run with a contrarian point of view on that. So we'll see. We have interviewed all the current counselors and supervisors about the water supply plan over the years. And as I said, most of them right now support the fundamentals. So it'll be interesting to see if a candidate steps forward and says they have a real difference of opinion.
Yeah.
And whether that really moves the voters on that subject.
Right. It's going to be interesting to watch. What else are you predicting for 09?
The city and county are both going to get back reports on their government efficiency studies. They both decided to hire outside experts to look at the efficiency and effectiveness of their operations. We'll be getting those reports soon. That'll be a big story in 2009. Elections, we've mentioned. Three supervisors, two city councilors. The two city councilors are Dave Norris and Julian Talaferro, and they are both up in November. So Charlottesville Tomorrow has an election watch page. We've done this since 2005. We cover these candidates in depth. Nobody has announced their intentions at this point publicly, but as soon as they do, we'll put them on our election watch website, and you can track it in detail. The General Assembly, I think, will be making a story this year with transportation funding. And my prediction would be that they're going to block the local sales tax initiative.
You think they're not going to let that through?
I think they're going to block that. They won't want to be a part in an election year for the General Assembly. They're not going to want to be a part of.
But they're not approving the increase. They're approving the folks in Central Virginia. They're allowing them to make the decision for themselves.
They'd be associated with it.
If it passed. Yeah.
So my prediction is they'll support Charlottesville Albemarle creating a transit authority, but they won't support
any means by which to fund that transportation.
And further, they will tell VDOT to decrease even further the funding that comes to Charlottesville
Albemarle. What's the percentage that you said one time you were in here that the change in funding we've gotten from VDOT?
I think what Dennis Rooker said is we're getting about 12% of what we got 5 years ago for the secondary road funding.
Amazing.
Which
basically means nothing.
Hopefully,
what can you do with 12?
Mr. Perriello, we hope you're listening. another big story in 2009 is going to be the downtown mall renovations. Those got underway this week in earnest. And, the question is, will it be done under budget and on schedule? They've got a great contractor involved in doing this and apparently quite a contract in place that has penalties and whatnot that says they've got to get it done on time in May. And we'll keep a close eye on that. But that's huge.
That's a lot of work. And what else in 2009?
Local governments are going to continue facing budget challenges as this national recession continues. We're going to keep an eye on the revenue sharing. That's something that the county and city got into an agreement on a long time ago, back when the city could annex county land. The revenue sharing in 2009 will go up by $4 million to about $18 million that the county hands to the city of Charlottesville. That's about 10 cents on the tax rate. So Albemarle County currently has a 71 cent tax rate. They are really operating on 61 cents because of a dime of it goes to the city of Charlottesville. And then two master plans are going to make the news. The Places 29 master plan, the 20-year plan for the 29 North Corridor, will be unveiled. The question is, will it be approved? What kind of questions are there going to be around transportation?
Will it include overpasses?
and the draft right now has six proposed overpasses, grade-separated overpasses for different roads like Hydraulic, Greenbrier-Rio, Airport Road, all the way up and down.
One at Airport Road,
yep.
Really?
Hollymead Town Center, right in front of Forest Lakes,
wow.
Forest Lakes South. So, yes, all those
29
things.
Will be one big tunnel.
And then the last Crozet is the Crozet Master Plan, which gets underway on its five-year review in 2009, and we'll see if the community is happy with where it's going.
There you go. Thank you, Brian. This
Some
is
predictions.
Good stuff.
We'll see how
now,
good I am.
Tell folks how they can get this. You can listen to the podcast. That'll be online at WINA and at SevillePodcast.com.
And if you go to SevilleTomorrow.org, on the very front of our website, there's a link to all the stories in our news center, and it'll be the top one or two stories right now.
There you go. The top 10 growth and development stories of 2008, brought to you by Charlottesville Tomorrow and Executive Director Brian Wheeler, online at SevilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks
very
for
much.
Having me, Coy.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.